This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Thank you. Wort war bei Gott, und Gott war das Wort, und das Wort ist Fleisch geworden und hat unter uns gewohnt. Im Anfang war das Wort, und das Wort war bleiflott, und flott war das Wort, und das Wort ist Fleisch geworden und hat unter uns gewohnt. Im Anfang war das Wort, schon das Wort war bleiflott, schon flott war das Wort, schon das Wort ist Fleisch geworden, schon hat unter uns gewohnt. Im Anfang war das Wort, schon das Wort war bleiflott, schon flott war das Wort, schon das Wort ist Fleisch geworden, schon hat unter uns gewohnt. Schlüsch, flotsch, übe, ah, eng, I, p, fehl nie, st, Uhi, na, e, wip, fehlens, püree, st, du, kau, meinen, auch, die, e, Vögel, E, in, Schwei, geh nie im Wald, Eva. R, T, N, U, Rp, alter Uhe, St, du, au. Mae, Mae, Pyjama mit rotem Frosch. Bill. Pyjama, roter Frosch. Bill, Pitschrott frisch. Mae.
Good morning, Captain Seddon, Datchet. Whom am I speaking to, please?
Sergeant MacDonald.
Ah, Sergeant MacDonald, do you know me at all?
I have never met you.
You haven't, have you? Do you know who I am or where I live?
Yes, you live on the corner of Homely Walk.
Homely Road, actually.
That's it.
Donald, I thought I would tell you there was an interesting little incident that took place just now with hooligans 2 minutes ago. It may be relevant to nothing, but it could quite possibly tie in, quite easily tie in, with all the terrible troubles which I've experienced here and which you may know about, the smashing of my gates and fences and all the rest. Do you know about those things?
Well, yes.
Fine. Now, what happened was this. This was just 2 minutes ago. I was calling on my neighbour, who is an Australian, Mr. White, in the next house, and we were discussing these problems. And when I came out of his gate and back into my gate, there was a group of hooligans, about four or five of them, standing underneath the rain awning of the Indian shop opposite me on the north side of Horton Road. Do you know the shop I mean?
What do you mean, yes.
And as I unlocked my gate, they screamed across the road at me, "Wanker! Queer! Go on, Seddon, go on in!" So I simply, as the remarks are totally incorrect anyway, I thought it would be quite interesting to observe a little longer. So I simply stood my ground there, perfectly stationary, and looked at them. And they went on repeating these comments, you see, and I thought I'd just tell you, just in case they should be involved in this. And I should tell you that one of the social problems of this district now is that it's quite impossible very often to go out on the road without being abused in this and other similar ways. It's quite customary. They may well still be there. They're sheltering from the rain. It mightn't do any harm for your police car to go and have a look and see who they are and find out whether possibly they're linked in with something. Because if they make remarks of that kind, it's quite possible that they're the sort of people who would smash in my gates, is it not?
Possibly, yes. I'll get the car to have a check down there. In actual fact, I've only just come back from there in the last 10 minutes.
Dear, would you believe it?
Just been down to Homely Walk and just driven out from there about, 10 minutes, quarter of an hour ago.
Barely.
And there's nobody about at all that time.
Now they're about four, well, there were 2 minutes ago, they may have moved. But in view of the rain, you see, it's quite possible that they've stayed there.
Yes.
And by the way, my neighbour tells me that yet another car was burned on the sports field. I think, did he say yesterday or the day before, is that right?
Possibly. I haven't been here, so I don't know offhand.
Oh. Well, perhaps you'll get somebody to check these people out, because it just might tie in with something.
Yes, I'll get one of the cars to have a look at them.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
Finding the low tension supply, and this would be recharged from time to time in the basement.
9-volt battery for the bias?
That's right, absolutely right, with several little tapping. And that was that. Now, Hahn's wireless was quite a different situation. Oh, by the way, I should tell you that I used as the loudspeaker an English Amplian horn loudspeaker of about 1923, which was more or less the shape of a question mark.
Oh, I think I've seen some illustrations of that type.
You have? Well, it was an early loudspeaker. It worked perfectly well. It had very little or no bass response, but it had very good clarity of diction.
Uh-huh.
And it was, as a transducer, it was extremely efficient. It used little energy for a large output. Albeit it suffered from resonant peaks in various parts of the spectrum.
Well, that's
but that didn't matter a great deal. Anyhow, he was very happy with his wires. Now to Hahn. I don't know if you're aware of this, and whether this appears in the Public Record Office, I'd be interested to know if it does. many of Hahn's activities were of such a kind that by the nature of what he did, they had to then, and it may very well be that they still have to, be kept under a shroud of top secrecy. Amongst other things, was very closely connected with such people as the Prime Minister, who these people were, I don't even know the details, various secretaries of state, I believe, sundry other ministers, the government organisations for pre-service, and many other aspects of government. And one of the things which he did, which was very much under shrouds, he had some sort of, well, I hesitate to say too much about it because I don't know much about it anyway, but I don't think one should say too much. It had to do with intelligence gleaned by wireless. And to this end, he had a very, very powerful and extremely, very potent wireless receiver in his room on the ground floor in Place Denham, the one that looked out over the lawn at the back. And, if you like, I suppose I was Hahn's communication engineer. I looked after, I maintained, I repaired, I improved, I optimized this receiver. I erected a much improved receiving aerial, and it was used, of course, to listen to wireless communication and wireless broadcast coming from Germany and from, well, from the occupied continent, if you like. And he then reported back on whatever it was to the government. In such a way that it could help, to a maximum degree, the war effort. And so I was involved very much with that.
Can I interrupt you just a second?
No.
I just wanted to clarify things. Meissner was at Brunei. You were at birth. Were you at Berthier all the time?
No, not at all. I was at Berthier for a short time when first I arrived at the school. Where the housemaster was Captain Carr Campbell. Military with a military moustache to boot and a kilt. And his wife and two, two children. And it was while I was there that I founded and established and ran a tiny little motorcycle club. The house, you see, the country there is not level, as you will appreciate. It's on slopes. And the part of the back of the house was built, if you like, into the hill. The hill had been dug away to provide a flat or terraced piece of ground on which to build the house and on which to build a path round the back of the building. The back part of the house, the part that looked into the hill, if you like, was known as the laundry. And in part of the laundry was established the shower and washrooms for the boys, leaving a part of the laundry spare at the back, right at the back. And it was in that part that we established a little motorcycle club, which I initiated and organized. I was the Leitgeist there again. And I produced a motorcycle which I bought in Llanidloes. Llanidloes in Ditugones, in the Severn Valley. I learned, of course, to emulate the delightful musical intonation of the Welsh. I liked it. I thought it sweet. And I brought this thing. It was a 1926 Model P, as in Peter, Triumph. For 490-something, perhaps nearly 500 cubic centimetres, swept volume, single-cylinder, four-stroke, petrol-driven motor bicycle with lighting by means of calcium carbide and acetylene gas. Yes, indeed, at the front and likewise at the back. And one generator at the front feeding two lamps with rubber tubing. And the petrol tank was not over the frame of the bicycle. It was pushed in sideways through the frame. So you had one frame tube over the top of the tank, clearly visible, and another frame tube directly underneath the tank. The tank was divided into two parts. The one part was sort of 7/8 of the whole and held petrol. And the remaining eighth was a separate one and held lubricating oil, into which there dipped a hand-operated pump. Which, God forbid that one should ever forget to do it, every 5 miles had to be raised and thrust down to its full travel, whereupon the engine received a huge shot of oil, straight into the crankcase onto the rotating flywheels. Clouds of blue smoke emitted at the back for several miles as the oil level in the sump gradually diminished.
Yes,
and then after 5 miles there wasn't any oil left, you had to do it again. Anyhow, we had great fun, and we had about, I think we had Jeremy McIntosh was one of the members. He was sadly subsequently killed in a German air raid on an English Royal Air Force aeroplane station at which he was stationed at the time after leaving the school.
Yes.
And Hamish Dawson, I seem to remember, a Scottish boy, and I think two others. I can't remember who they were anymore.
Yes.
They'll come back another time. Two or three others. Anyway, that was Berth D. But I was there, I would say, probably not more than a term.
Oh, I see.
Thereafter, I was put to Brunnieren.
Yes.
Where Erich Meissen presided.
Yes.
And I was there for practically the whole of the rest of my time. I seem to have a dim recollection, but it is very dim, that I was for a very brief and temporary period sleeping in the billiard room, which I think I've already mentioned to you, with these glass cases.
Now that was it, plus dinner,
yes.
Yes.
Now I think I was there very briefly. How briefly, I don't know. Perhaps only a matter of a few weeks. What the reason was, I don't know. Something to do with the internal dynamics of the movement of the school, or the boys, or the housing arrangements, or what it was, I don't know.
That things did get... There was a bit of chopping and changing.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And by the way, talking of Plastinum, these sheds you were talking about as outbuildings.
Yes.
Oh, yes, and I mustn't forget to tell you, MacGregor, would you write it down?
Yes.
So I forget. Those sheds there were mainly used, almost entirely, no, not entirely. The bigger ones were principally used for something entirely separate. You know, Kurthahn hatte ein Vogel im Kopf, as we say. He had a bird in his head. You would say he had the bee in the bonnet.
Bee in the bonnet, yeah.
And the bee in the bonnet was, and it was a very brilliant bee in the bonnet, which was the which of course led to the founding of Outward Bound.
Yes.
It was seamanship, wonderful,
yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And seamanship, he deemed it a desirable part of Charakterbildung, the development of character in young people, that they should be subjected to the rigors of seamanship.
That's right.
And that is, it's a brilliant idea, which nobody else has gotten on to, apparently, because the rigors of the sea and the very dangerous problems it poses brings out the leadership which otherwise may not emerge. Now, in that connection, he forged an alliance, a rather curious alliance, with some people who had to do with the education or the production, if you like, of merchant navy officers.
That's right.
And they had a ship called the Conway,
yes,
which I never saw, but I heard about.
Yes.
I'm told it was somewhere near a place called Anglesey.
That's correct.
Off the Welsh coast.
That's right.
And there was some kind of an alliance there,
yes,
whereby
yes,
some of those boys were attached for a period to Gordonston School. And they lived, and they were instructed, in large sheds. Well, no, sheds is not quite the right word. Chalet, perhaps, would you say?
Temporary building.
Temporary buildings, yes. Temporary buildings. Brilliant.
Yes.
Which were erected on one of the... In front of Plastinum, there were terraced lawns.
That's
for the.
Right.
I think that's my best description. The biggest one was, excuse me, kept as such, as a kind of sports field.
Right, right.
But higher up and behind it, higher up the hill, there was another terraced lawn, which was a narrower one.
Yes.
And on that were built these temporary buildings.
Uh-huh.
And in some of these buildings there slept these Conway people, whom,
yes,
I must tell you, used the most appalling language I've ever heard in my life. I don't know why, but I was nearly absolutely out of my boots.
Yes.
And then... They were instructed in another one. And their sort of headmaster, if you like to put it in those terms, was a very unfortunate man who had been a victim of some terrible attack by U-boats, who had therefore a wooden leg, and he was Captain MacGregor. You mentioned the name MacGregor.
I've come across two conflicting stories of how he lost, of the attack in which he lost his leg.
What did you hear?
Well, one of them was that his ship was torpedoed, and...
That is what I heard.
Well, there is another, and I can't remember the details, but it definitely wasn't a U-boat.
Oh! Well, I gathered it was a U-boat. I don't know if I was actually told that it was.
Trying to unravel things. I think that I will probably play safe, and if I want to talk about that, I will just say that when his ship was sunk, without trying to specify how.
I see, yes.
I'd rather do that than plump for... This is a difficulty. When you have two stories which appear to be equally grounded and equally likely to be true, I'm very reluctant to plump for one rather than the other without some external corroborating evidence.
Yes, I quite see that, absolutely.
It's very tricky, very
yes.
tricky.
Well, anyway, that was the what was it called, Conway.
Yeah.
Now, they somehow were... The person who ran the Conway thing was also involved with Hahn in the establishment of the Abu Dhabi thing.
Ah, now that I didn't know.
Goodies, I may be wrong. That is what I gathered.
The person who's mostly involved is Lawrence Holt.
Yes, now Holt ran a shipping company called the Blue Funnel Line.
Yes, yes.
And, they were also, as far as I understand, they were also very much involved in some way or other with Conway.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Again, I may be wrong.
I know that he would be involved as an owner of a shipping line. I know he would be concerned at the training of seamen.
Yes. Now, I may be therefore in error here, but I always had the impression that there was probably a fairly close connection. But as I didn't know, I never met Holt Sr. I only met the son, who, by the way, died relatively recently.
Oh, yes. Yes.
When the
schooner Princess Louise was brought down.
Excuse me, may I correct you? It was the Prince Louis von Battenberg. And because of the political correctness, is that the right word?
Yes.
Of the war prevailing, any mention of von Battenberg was discreetly dropped.
Right.
And it was just known as the Prince Louis.
I presumed it might be. But I believe when they brought it down, it was partly crewed by some of these seamanship cadets and partly by boys from the school.
Yes.
And they did, in fact, break the journey and stayed for a while at HMS Conway because they had some engine trouble.
Ah, that's very interesting.
And apparently the rules during the war, they won't be there to allow 68 feet if they were sail only, in case they were becalmed. They have to have an engine so that if they were at sea and an enemy appeared, they could at least make an attempt to get away.
I see.
As they had engine trouble on the journey down from Scotland, they stayed at HMS Connolly while that was fixed.
That is very interesting.
To Abu Dhabi.
Yes.
Now, the name that is continually quoted as the lead, one of the leading lights who was involved, I think, possibly not until the time when, I'm not clear when Outward Bound as such took off, whether it took off before Gordonston went back or afterwards. But the name that is frequently quoted was a J.M. Hogan, was the man who ran Outward Bound.
I have an idea that somebody told me quite recently that he had died.
Ah.
Now, I may be mistaken on this, but I rather think I was told that.
One of the things that I wanted to check is in my researching on Hahn and his County Batch scheme and so on.
Yes.
In the National Library of Wales, I came across some papers deposited by a clergyman stroke local councillor in South Wales, who had obviously been to election given by Hahn, and Hahn and Meissner provided him with a great deal of information about the Batch scheme. And there was an article in there I was reading about some committee that the government had set up to look into these sort of ideas of this bad scheme, which of course eventually became the Duke of Edinburgh's award. But the interesting thing, that one of the members of that committee was a J.M. Hogan, secretary of Balliol College. And I just wondered whether it was the same man, whether he got so interested in Hahn and his ideas that he left the college in order to take up Outward Bound. That's something I want to try and check on this while I'm up there.
Well, now, I'm reading from a list here, which was provided for me some time ago in connection with Outward Bound by someone who had a lot to do with Outward Bound, well, quite a bit to do with it in earlier years. I'll tell you about him in a few minutes, but first I'll read you this list. He writes, after some 48 to 50 years, I find it difficult to remember all the staff there. This is at Abu Dhabi. Over the period of 2 years, but list below those that I do recall. Errors and E and OE. Mr. J. M. Hogan, indeed.
Ah.
Against that, the word warden.
Yes, he was the first warden of Abu Dhabi.
Right, now we have Dr. Zimmerman, P.E. instructor, ex-Gordonston.
Ah, so Zimmerman went there.
Yeah, I remember him very well. He had a highly polished, completely bald head.
Oh, yes.
Like a great egg. Shining in gold brown.
Yes, yes.
The next person, Miss G. Hamilton, cook, ex-Gordon.
Ah.
Mr. Griff Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S, sounds Welsh, bosun, in brackets, Prince Louis.
Oh.
Captain Beer, B-W-E-R, base master, blue funnel. Now that's Alfred Hope.
Sorry, could you go, give me that last name, Griff Davies.
Mr. Griff. G-R-I-F-F.
Yes, yes.
That's, it just stops at that point. Griff is all that
yes,
is written.
That's right.
And then D-A-V-I-E-S.
Yes.
Bosun.
Yes.
Prince Louis.
Ah, right.
Captain Beer, B-E-E-R.
Yes.
Base Master, Blue Funnel. Now that's, of course, Alfred Holt, you see.
Yes.
That was the Raider Rye of Holt.
Yes, yes.
Captain Evans, Prince Louis, Blue Funnel.
Evans.
Captain Königstein.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, that isn't right. I'm reading it as a German name, it is evidently
right.
A Dutch name. It looks to me Dutch, or possibly Norwegian. K-O-N-N.
K-O-N-N.
I-N.
König.
G.
Yes?
Stein, S-T-E-I-N.
Oh.
Königstein. That's a funny name. It's either Dutch or Scandinavian.
Ah,
now, all he was listed as Blue Funnel.
He was Blue Funnel too.
Captain H. Coulton, C-O-U-L-T-O-N, Blue Funnel.
Good heavens.
Captain T. R. Phillips with two L's.
Right.
Blue Funnel. Mr. C. E. Ash A-S-H, Blue Funnel.
Yes.
Mr. A.C. Sparks, it sounds like the wireless operator. Mr. N. This is difficult to read, it's a very odd name. It looks like C-U-R, I'll get a magnifier, P-H-E-Y, Curfey. Most peculiar, N. Curfey, also Blue Funnel.
Right.
Mr. John Chapman.
Yes.
Oh, remind me to tell you about Mr. Chapman in Llandinham, will you?
Yes.
I'm going to write it down. Just a second. Just a second. I'm going to write that down. Chapman.
I'm afraid.
Go on.
I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to talk much longer. My wife and the lady who currently manages Brunirin are imminently expected.
Yes.
So I think I'm going to suggest we bring this to a halt at this stage.
Absolutely. Give my kind greetings, will you, to the lady from Brunirin. Tell her from me it was a most happy house, and I have happy and lovely memories of it, and the lovely Wellingtonia giant trees surrounding it.
Yes. No, you remember, I think I mentioned when we spoke that there had been a fire at Llandinham.
Oh, yes.
damage seems quite extensive. I mean, it is 6 weeks now since the fire.
Oh, it's quite recent. I didn't realise that.
It's very recent. Contractors are working, but they haven't yet got all the scaffolding they need.
Yes.
They're having to erect a sort of temporary plastic roof to protect the house while they work. And it does look as though it's going to be something like a 4 to 6 months' worth of work.
How awful.
It seems to be very extensively damaged. Precisely, you know, what, I don't know. But Julie, the manager, was there at the weekend. And Blue Iron is keeping up its sort of connection with the Davis family, because Lady Davis is very involved with the Prince's Trust in Wales.
Oh, I see. Good for her.
And there is some big function coming off coinciding with the Royal Welsh Show.
Yes.
And she had planned to accommodate about 20 guests. And so she's now frantically come to Brunei, and could we possibly change some of the, or could Julie possibly change some of her bookings and please try and find room for these 20 distinguished guests. So, oh dear. Yes, it's been quite a tragedy, I think, for the family.
Poor plaster them. Poor yeah. Davis. Tell them I'm very sorry to hear of it.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I hope they will manage to mend it.
Forgive me, if I do close the conversation
yes.
now...
Yes, of course.
I'm going to be away, I'm not sure exactly how long, but it's unlikely that I'll have a chance to ring you next week. It'll probably be the beginning of the week after.
Yes, whenever it suits you.
Good.
Anyway, it's a fascinating subject, and I will help you all I can. I think it's a thing whose history is very well worth recording.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much.
Not at all. All the best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. How's my Liebchen?
I'm a little bit better, I think.
Good, I'm so glad. Is there anything at all I can do to help?
Yeah, I just... As much peace I have, the better it is.
Yes. Have you taken any echinacea?
Yes, I just took some 10 minutes ago.
And sometimes they shout from passing vehicles. The usual sort of thing is, Seddon! Captain Seddon!
Hello.
That's one. But then it often goes much worse than that. And it's not uncommon for one to have the experience that I yet again had today at, just a minute, 13:05 hours. A group of 4 to 5 hooligans were sheltering against the rain, leaning against the window of the Indian shop opposite the Gable End stores.
Yeah.
I had just been to my neighbour, to the Australian male model, you know, what's his name, White, to discuss with him and take him photocopies of the reports in the press about the hooliganism and so on. And I then came out of his gate and back into my own gate. And as I was about to enter my gate, the hooligans, under the awning opposite, cried out, Wanker! Queer! Sedan! Gan! Get on in there!
That's right. Yeah.
And then they repeated this, you see, several times. So I thought, this is interesting. I shall stay where I am and see what happens and just have a look. So I stayed there, perfectly still, outside my gate for about a minute and a half and watched and listened to this cacophony. And in due course I rang the police and I said, you know, I think you might do well just to check out those people, because in view of the things that they're saying, it's not at all inconceivable that they could be the very people who broke into my gate the other day.
Yeah.
And there we are, I don't know. Well, as a matter of historical and scientific fact, not that it concerns them at all, but I tend to think it might be no bad idea to give publicity to the following fact. I am indeed a defect of creation, but only in so far that I do not engage in sexual activity with either sex.
No.
And I never have done. And there are people like that you can call neuters or whatever you like to call. So what they say about queer and so forth, in the meaning that they mean queer, is incorrect.
Yeah.
Queer in another way, yes,
yeah,
but not in that way. Now, whether or not publicising that fact, whether that would in any way alter their screaming and yelling, or whether it would be a good or a bad thing, I really don't know. I wonder whether they were the breakers in and what it's all about.
Well, they're probably part and parcel of it. One of the gang.
Yes, I should think so.
Oh, yeah, yeah, more than likely.
I tend to think it would be no bad thing if we could get photographs of these people so that we know who we're dealing with.
Well, it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Might be quite useful.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can somehow arrange to do that. It needs to be done rather secretly so that they don't know it's being done. Rather difficult to do, really.
It's difficult fitting up cameras.
Yes, it would have to be positioned in a special way.
Well, that's right.
That it's not obvious.
That's right. And probably so you're fitting it up.
Do you, I mean, when you see these boys around, do you know them by name or not?
I don't know any of them, no.
No, nor do I.
I see them about, I see them up and down the road, but who they are, but no idea.
No.
They don't even say hello.
No, they don't. They've just shout from a distance or nothing. Well, anyway, there we are. I thought I'd tell you that. Now, what other recent news have I got of these activities? No, I think that's all at the moment. Well, look, I will get on with this ticket thing.
Okay.
And I'll get in touch as soon as I can. Thank you again for everything.
You shouldn't have too much trouble getting a ticket now, you know, should you? It's the end of the season.
Well, let's wait and see. I never like to anticipate those things beforehand.
I should think now you should probably get a ticket quite easily.
Do. Well, I hope you're right.
Are you in connection with any travel agents or anybody?
Not really, no. I mean, what I tend to do is to look in the Evening Standard, where they seem to have a certain number of reduced-rate tickets, and ring up whoever happens to be advertising them to find out whether they're still available, which they're usually not, and whether they're on suitable dates, which they very often aren't.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Method do you use?
Well, I usually book through a firm called Travel Plus in Burnham High Street.
Ah, so you go always to one particular agent?
Yes, I always look through the same people.
But then, doesn't that normally result in having to pay rather high fees?
I never ask for very expensive trips. But some of these cheapy trips, you know, you have to go off at weird hours.
Well, that is so. But of course you do save quite a bit of money.
Oh, yes. But it's okay. I mean, if you're going on your own anyway, what difference does it make?
Yes, that's true. What sort of price do you normally pay to these people?
Well, it depends, you know. I mean, I think it's about £150, something like that.
Yes, well, I try and get things sort of 75, 85, 95, 100, 105, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, if I can.
You even advertise for that.
Oh, yes, you do.
It's probably an idea to bring one of those out of the newspaper.
Yes, I think I do that.
Yeah.
Good. Fine. Well, I will tell the reporter tomorrow at the wireless station that this car was burnt out. Which evening was it again?
Oh, well, that's nice of
you. Never mind. Anyway, in the last night or two.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll tell them. Well, thank you again for everything. Good luck with your father.
Thursday night.
Sorry?
I think it was Thursday night.
Very nice. I've noted that. Good. Well, good luck with your father, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, then.
Thanks again.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Thanks.
I'm putting a good signal out to line. The meter's deflecting well. There must be a bad line.
Slightly better.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Good. How are things with you?
Yes, all right. Thank you.
Thank you for your kind letter.
Yes.
Just to say that I definitely am going. I told them this, but only verbally. And I think they wait with adding one's name till they get it in writing. And they have got it in writing quite recently.
Oh, good.
So, I look forward very much to seeing you. Now, Jenny Needham told me on the telephone that 91 people were coming.
Good God.
And I was amazed. I said, well, what a wonderful success. But they sent me the list of the people who are coming at my request. And in fact, they only reached the figure of 45. So, Oh, I beg your pardon. 45 is the year, evidently they left. So I haven't actually counted how many there are on the list. Do you want to know any names?
Well, yes, it would be quite good. I mean, I suppose I ought to get a copy of the list.
You ought. Do you remember Henry Marx?
Yes, I do.
He's coming with his wife, Gerard Lyold. I don't remember him somehow. I see why. I've got it. There's a figure 48 against him. So he obviously left in 48, so we presumably didn't know him. Gerard Lyell. Walter Heimann, who of course we know.
I didn't think the school was still there in 48.
Well, presumably I presume 48 is the year in which he left the school, and possibly he was just briefly in Wales before going up to Scotland.
Ah.
I'm only guessing.
Yes.
Henry Marx left in 43, I remember him. Walter Heimann, I remember him well.
Yes.
Aubrey Gray left in 47. Now, curiously enough, I remember him.
Yes.
There must have been an overlap. Peter Gray, of course.
He's coming, is he?
Yes.
Yes, I wrote to him as well.
Good for you. He's written a little letter to me as well. Robert Gibson. Yes, Gibson left in 45. Now, who was Robert Gibson?
Gray say in his letter. He's written to you, has he?
Yes, he's written to me.
Yeah.
I better not go on too great a length because this is the most expensive time of day for telephoning. I think I better stick to the list. Anyway, he wrote a letter and he's definitely going. Do you remember Gibson? I don't.
No. Can you send me a copy of that list? Have you got a photocopier?
I'll send you a copy.
That would be lovely.
I'll send you a copy.
Be well away.
Sorry?
I'd be, that'd be very useful.
Good. Well, I look forward to seeing you there.
Yep.
And have you arranged accommodation at the other end?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Marvellous. Good. Well, then, I better not talk any longer. Lovely to talk to you, however briefly, and look forward to seeing you then.
Are you bringing the kedge anchor?
Yes, what is happening is this. I'm bringing an elderly German woman friend who I think you've never met, who has lived in this country since 1935, who comes from Mainz. Her name is Anna Stubbs, and I shall be driving her car and bringing her and bringing the kedge anchor in the back.
I see.
Kedge anchor comes along, complete with carrier bags.
You're bringing?
Sorry?
Is that Editha Mork?
No. It's Anna Stubbs. I don't suppose you know her.
Oh, well, I hope she's better than Editha Mork.
She's quite different.
Good.
Quite different.
One stays hopeful, then.
Tell me, give me your summary, your resume of Editha Mork. Pain in the arse?
Yeah.
What a lovely description.
A bit horrible, but... No, not exactly.
Do enlarge on that. Tell me more. It's interesting to see how the world sees her.
I know she's your best friend, but she...
No, she's not my best friend. She's a friend of mine. I accept her with all her limitations. But she's certainly not my best friend. Don't worry about that.
You see.
No, but tell me more. How do you react to her, generally?
I'll tell you when we meet.
No, tell me more now. I'm fascinated. I think the pain in the arse is a very good start to begin with. Tell me more.
Well, I mean, she's just dreadfully, dreadfully pushy, and she virtually ruined my evening when I was, I forget where we were, that dinner or was it the drinks or something like that, by pursuing me all over the place and trying to get me to nail her garden fence together or something, because she heard I was an architect, so she thought I was going to do all her work for her. I mean, you know, absolutely disgraceful behaviour, I thought.
Well, somebody described her, I can't remember who it was, somebody has described her as a bulldozer.
Yeah, well, she won't bulldoze me. I'm able to stand up to things like that, but I don't like it, and I thought that to take... advantage of a social event and try and push someone into doing some professional work for them, when I made it very, very clear to her that I didn't want to do it, it wasn't the sort of thing I did. And, you know, she goes on and on and on and pursued me all round the room and must have talked to me on 6 different occasions about this damn thing. And, you know, it was totally absolutely amazing, really. I mean, if I'd been a doctor, I suppose I'd have had to examine her there and then, on the floor.
absolutely lovely.
But I wasn't.
You put it very, very clearly indeed. I realised she had been asking you about this, but I had no idea that she'd badgered you to this extent. She really is quite impossible.
Absolutely awful.
Did she tell you about her nieces who were in Gordonston?
No, she was only telling me about some boring thing with a bit of some stairs to a garden or some damn thing, and she seemed to think I was like the local handyman round the corner, that I could come round and sort it all out for her. I mean, the very last thing I wanted to get involved in, and I certainly wouldn't wish it on anyone who works for me. I told her in a very polite way that I couldn't do it. It wasn't the sort of work I did, but she wouldn't say no for an answer.
Oh, well, I'm afraid she is a very persistent creature, and she is, I think this description, bulldozer, is really rather apt in many ways.
She didn't win, but she virtually destroyed any pleasure I had that evening, because I had to spend the whole time trying to get away from her.
I am so sorry. And was I responsible? Was it I who introduced you to her?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
So that paints itself on me. I'm extremely sorry.
Yes, well, I mean, you probably weren't to know how she would react, so I'm sure you did it with the best of intentions, so I'm not actually blaming you, Morris, at all.
I think I just happened to be speaking to her at the time, and I think possibly you came up, or we came in contact with you or something, and I thought it only courteous to introduce.
Best left behind, I think.
Well, believe me, if she comes to Wales, she comes under her own steam. I'm not going to bring her, and I'm not going to even mention to her that I'm going to go, because she's very, very fascinated with everything Gordonston. She's madly in love with everything to do with Hahn, as I'm sure you know.
Yes, indeed.
And therefore, it would be possible that she would endeavour to hook herself on and come along too.
Oh, dear me.
Well, I'm certainly not going to get involved in that.
Yes.
I went with her once to the Fishmongers Hall to attend a function of the Georgian Society, of which she's a member.
Yeah.
And it was the most embarrassing thing I've ever been to.
Really?
Oh, yes. She charged up to completely unknown people and literally bulldozed her way into their circle.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, not to worry. I'll send you a copy of this thing.
Not just that she...
Oh, he's a guy jumping off the car.
Did they manage to catch him? Do they know who he is?
And she had a little girl, and she was a little girl, and she had a little girl, and she was a little girl, and she had a little girl, and she was a little girl, and she had a little girl, and she drank cocoa. She was a little girl, and she had a little girl, and she was a little girl, and she had a little girl, and she was a little girl, and she drank cocoa. She was a little girl, and she had a little girl, and she was a little girl, and she had a little girl, and she drank cocoa. She was a little girl, and she had a little girl, and she was a little girl, and she drank cocoa. She was a little girl, and she had a little girl, and she drank cocoa. She was a little girl, and she drank cocoa, and she drank cocoa, and she drank cocoa. Cake or kale or Coca-Cola, cake or cakes, kale or cakes, kale or kale or clay or kale, clayco, leco, leco, jackal diamonds, leco demonies, leco diamonds, lack the crack, lack the scene. I like him pills, I like him pills, I like him pills, I like him pills, Nabir. All I can piss, all I can piss. All I can piss, I like him pills, Napier. I like him, I like them. Tick, tack, tick, tack. I like them. I like them. Tick, tack, tick, tack, tick, tack. Kick-o, kick-quack, kick-o, quack-o, kicks. Tick, tack, tick, tack. Kick-o, kick-quack, kick-o, quack-o, kicks. Tick, tack, tick, tack, tick, tacks. Frog, ugly, duckling, frogly, waggling, fraggly, wackling, fackly, toggling, fackly, wackling, fraggly, waggling, frogly, duckling, ugly, frog. Tacks, tick, fack, fick, tack, tick, fack, fick. Doggling, fuckly, wackling, fraggly, waggling, frogly, duckling, ugly frog. Ducks, frog, ugly duckling, frogly, waggling, fraggly, wackling, fuckly, doggling. Tick, tack, tick, tack, tick, tack, tick, da, di, da, di, da, di, a, e, a, e, a, e, e, o, u, 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 a, e, e, o, u. A e I o u a e I o u a e I o u. Prayer. Where is Wheelie? Wheelie, where are you? Where is Wheelie's wife? Wheelie's wife, where are you? Prayer. Where is Free Wheelie? Free Wheelie, where are you? Where is Free Wheelie's free wife? Free Wheelie's free wife, where are you? Prayer. Where is Free Wheelie free? Free Wheelie, where are you free? Where is Free Wheelie's free wife free? Free Wheelie's free wife, where are you free? Prayer! Where is Free Will Wheelie free will? Free Will Wheelie, where are you free will? Where is Free Will Wheelie's free will wife free will? Free Will Wheelie's free will wife, where are you free will? Prayer!
Retro me Satanus, retro me Om. Saturanus metro resartor Om. Matre rotas om, rotas metrish om, tenet illegiblom, pater nostrum, partere nosteres om, mater nostra om, eternos pater om. Mary had a little lamb, om, in the middle of her om, et cetrom, adom, mamma mia, infinitum.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.